Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The harsh truth that Owen, formerly of The Night Show as a board op when I was The Night Show host, and now board op for The Morning Show, he ate two of the six donuts that he did not purchase. Ken ate a donut. Yeah. Lima ate a donut.
Uh-huh.
Ted ate a donut. Who am I missing?
Oh, Ted was Jeff Thomas is the last one you're
Jeff
missing.
Jeff Thomas. Now, the problem is he did not buy those donuts. They were not his to give out. Ken
confronting Ted would have been really funny.
He was the one guy.
There's
definitely
no way
wasn't gonna
do that. You went into Ted's office today. Yeah. I saw you going to Ted's office. It didn't come up, did it?
He had no idea. I guarantee you, he had no idea who purchased those donuts.
Okay, because if we're taking on the role of this is essentially our version of Pablo Torre finds out. It is Afternoon Drive finds out,
yep.
And we have found out the culprits. But now we're instead of Pablo is bringing on Mark Cuban on his show tomorrow to do more NBA investigative journalism. We're just shooting the you know what with the guys that were the culprits and nothing happening.
Ted was not the culprit. I think he was a patsy.
Oh,
I think
there is a distinction there.
I guarantee you that he was not made well aware of the fact that they were not Owen's donuts or
probably,
the morning show's
he's
donuts.
He's probably long forgotten about the donut that he ate.
And I would even say that Jeff Thomas is not a man to eat another man's donuts. Now to the three remaining bastards.
Oh, geez.
They were given
the B word.
They were given into that. I've got another B word for him off air.
Yeah. Okay.
They were given till today at 2 to just send a text. Didn't know those were your donuts. Explain or hey, we'll get you back. I honestly don't want the money back. It's a point of principle.
Mm-hmm.
You don't eat another man's donuts. It's that simple.
You
However,
don't mow another man's lawn.
Ken was repeatedly tweeted about the missing donuts, and he played innocent all weekend, which leads me to believe that there are accountability issues there, which, I mean, you think the Browns have accountability issues, the morning show, whew, I mean, six coaches in X amount of years, how many producers have they had? I think it runs deep into the donut world as well. It's okay.
In the
world?
Yeah. Big Donut is having conversations about this?
I mean, I think they took Big Donuts, and I think they claimed them for their own.
I mean, I've given so many Peter 1 passes out here, I can't even keep my head straight. Ted gets one, obviously. Jeff Thomas will always get a Peter 1 pass in my mind.
Owen,
because he's a veteran, gets a Peter 1 pass. That's just how I work.
Nope, because now I don't even know if he was on our side anymore.
If you serve our country, you just get the all-time Peter 1 pass from me. And
I no longer know if he was not a double agent or whatnot.
Between Lima and Ken, they're I guess the only ones that don't get the pass in my book.
Yeah, here's the thing. Owen ate two donuts, and he's the guy that was offering other people donuts. The question is, did they know they were my donuts? I'm going to say yes, they did.
Well, at this point, they have to know that they were your donuts.
I'm saying in the moment. Like, did Owen
I don't think so.
Owen only knew that they weren't his donuts.
And he had to go into a bag to get the donuts.
Yes.
That's the part that makes him at fault here.
But the idea that maybe he could have known, if I find out that they knew they were my donuts and still ate them, that is a special level of disrespect.
Well, I'm sorry you've not gotten your resolution on this one.
I didn't. I said, get to me by Monday at 2.
I told you then you weren't going to get anything.
Well, yes, because the revisionist history guys can't say they were wrong about Baker Mayfield. Why could they ever say they were wrong about donuts?
I like to believe that if we had inadvertently eaten someone's donuts, we would be offering up apologies and probably asking for Venmo handles as well. I like to believe that's who we are as people. We've not seen that in the return to your Venmo or anything else in between. Not even about that. Just I'm sorry
offer.
It happened. I got it. I get where you're going from here.
Yep.
I am a little. I'm a little surprised by the actions of these people that I've held in high esteem and high regard for a long time.
I mean, listen.
You got to do the right thing in this moment.
I can
buy. The right thing's a simple, it's a simple apology.
I can buy new donuts.
So, hey, we get free food all the time. Didn't know that happened to be yours. My bad.
I can't buy respect. And that's a real problem there. So every time listen to the Morning Boys, remember those donut munchers.
I want to give you closure in this story, but I don't think we're going to have it today.
I know. I think is okay. So there's closure, and then there's defiantly acting like you've done nothing wrong. And I think that to me is where it is dirty.
You're going to be on the couch like Tony Soprano, just telling your therapist all these wrongs of the donut gate.
I think more likely I'm going to be texting you mean things about them until I get some word of my, or not just you. I'll branch out. I'll make sure. I'll text Keith about. Look at these donut munchers. They can't go ahead and just fess up, can they? Every time there's a oopsie on the show, I'll send it to other people and be like, get a load of these donut munchers.
We're going with donut munchers, huh?
Well, I said the B word earlier, so I got to soften the language a little bit. You understand, my nephews, I've already told my sister-in-law and my brother a couple times that they like listening to me on air, but that I have too much of a potty mouth.
Well, you're within FCC guidelines, so that's how I always look at it, like it's an okay thing.
Six-year-olds don't get that, you know?
That's how I look at it. Like, people will be like, because I tell people all the time how I don't swear at all, but on the radio, I will say, I'll say ass or something like that, and it's like, we're within FCC guidelines. Ooh. It's just a little bit different.
Go Buckeyes 1000 on YouTube. Nick needs a gym. Huh, you think?
Ooh, I am fat.
What a good
one.
I had
to breathe.
Hey, the guy who's obviously obese needs to hit a gym. Can't get one by you, Sherlock. The private detective over here doing a great job.
Now I'm sorry that Go Buckeyes 1000 got you that way.
By the way, you need Blue Chew. How about that? 216-474-0092.
It's a good product and good service.
It can
help out a lot of people.
It is.
Including Go Buckeyes 1000,
Nick
apparently.
W., all one word at checkout. Just cover $5 for shipping. Just thinking out loud there,
friend.
There
we go.
Let's go with Thomas in Shaker. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got?
Thomas.
Hey, Nick. Hey, JP. Hey, look, first of all, I'm a man, and I'm never afraid to say that I'm wrong. Last week, we got in a heated debate about, I just said I just want to see more Dylan Gabriel. And, it was like Kevin Stansky, he was just listening to 92.3 The Fan, and he heard Thomas and Shaker say that. And he was just like, you know what? I'm going to have Dylan Gabriel throw the ball 53 times. Hey, Nick Wilson.
Yes.
Out of the 53 passes that Dylan Gabriel threw, how many touchdowns did he throw?
I think zero.
You telling me this man threw 53, the ball 53 times, and he could have get one touchdown?
That is exactly what we are telling you, yes.
I had enough of Dylan Gabriel, and there's not a lot of them. He's about as tall as the elf who's best friends with Rudolph. I had enough of that guy. I had enough of that guy, and I also had enough of Kevin Stansky.
That's the best friend with Rudolph?
I don't think he was in the story. I think it was like one of the side journeys.
Is there an elf that's a best friend with Rudolph? Rudolph has best
friends? Yeah, the elf that's best friends with Rudolph, wanted to be
the dentist. The reindeer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know Rudolph
what
had
was his name?
A good friend group.
I can't remember his name. I don't see where I was reindeer.
Was it also Dylan? Because that would be wild.
I can't remember his name. Anyway, Kevin says he's so fired. He reminds me of Romeo Cornell. That's also a donut cruncher. He's so fired, man. That guy is, Kevin says he's such a bum. Like, why are you having Dylan Gabriel throw the ball 53 times? Dude, what you doing here, man? Kevin,
okay, so the elf that is Rudolph's friend is named Hermie, okay? His name is Hermie, and a fun backstory on Hermie, he wanted to be a dentist instead of a toy maker. Why does the best friend for Rudolph have such a backstory?
It's just the funniest part of the whole movie.
Why is there a backstory? Why is there so many layers to Rudolph's elf friend?
Because everyone's got a story.
Why is this a thing?
All right.
It's really funny to me.
If you read the original text.
Done so many things with Rudolph. They're like, they would give him a best friend, and also this best friend really wanted to be a dentist, not a toy maker.
He had one friend.
He's cursed. He makes
all
toys.
All the other reindeer were laughing at him.
Yeah.
All the other elves were like too cool for school with him. He had one friend. It was Hermie. And apparently Hermie is also a failure.
Who lived in this prison of toy making.
Yeah.
And just wanted to burst out. Didn't want to make toys.
How relatable is that?
Wanted to be a dentist.
Yeah. How relatable is that? Who hasn't wanted to be something else? Maybe you're Maybe you're a financial planner, but really you always wanted to play the jazz saxophone, right? I don't think that's a thing. I meant jazz guitar.
Well, no, but in this instance, it's kind of like you wanting to, like you being someone that plays the guitar for a living, and you're like, I just want to be an accountant. I just want to do something that isn't
okay. Sure, you work
he's
on
a,
that
because he's a toy maker.
Uh-huh.
Toy maker is like the most. Like, what part isn't fun about being a toy maker?
The monotonous wrangling of materials and then hammering them together.
I don't know. I always thought elves had a good time. Did they not?
What is good about that time? I mean, other than the free
cocoa. Well,
when
you describe it, you do describe it as if they're just like in a factory in China, and that's maybe not the greatest.
Yes.
That maybe yeah. There's a dark side of toy
making
that I never...
There's no labor laws in the North Pole.
I never realized.
Santa for a while.
I never put together the dark side of toy making. Is Santa basically Nike?
I mean, people have been saying it.
Is Santa Nike? I don't know. You tell me.
In fairness, they've unionized in the last 50 years. Things are a lot better. Wages are much more fair. But yeah, if you say, would you like to be a toy maker in Santa's shop, captive, or a dentist, work on some... by the way, I bet you dentist makes more money, too.
Well, that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's definitely a fact.
We really covered some ground
here. You got to buy all sorts of good gifts for Rudolph because he's getting made fun of.
Adam and Green, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
What's up, fellas? So I have a question. Or a challenge, actually, I would call it. I have a rebuttal to the first two parts of it, and if you do come up with a third part of it, I would like the chance to rebuttal.
There's a lot of parts here, but okay.
So this is a three-parter. without saying the words coach of the year or one playoff win, why does Kevin Stefanski deserve to still coach this team?
I think you asked the wrong show this question. This would have been a better question for like the morning show or something, because we've not been, between me and Nick, we've not been defending Stefanski for a while.
No, and you know what? I want to open this up to Cleveland because I just don't understand, because I can't answer that question.
Been coach here for year, five and a half years.
He's made it really hard to defend. If this is a grand jury and we're trying to have a trial here, it's been really hard to defend Stefanski.
So what do we have to do? Like, how long can Callahan just got fired, and he was coach for, what, a year and a half now?
Not even a full 2 years, yep.
Same record as Stefanski in the time that he was the head coach of the Titans that Stefanski's had with the Browns.
And I think what Stefanski has to hold his hat on is coach of the year twice. Okay, first he inherited a unbelievable offensive talented team. And the second time, he just caught fire under a 38-year-old Joe Flacco that nobody thought that this would ever happen. So it really has, and the one playoff win, which he could hang his hat on, he was sitting on his couch at home. So he wasn't even calling the plays. He wasn't even coaching the team during that win. When he is in the playoffs and coaching the team, they don't win. And I don't get why the Haslams or Andrew Berry, whoever has the power to say, let's change this, can't pull the trigger. They can pull the trigger on taking the team out of Cleveland into Brook Park, but they can't pull the trigger on saying, hey, let's focus on football for a second and start winning some games and not focus on trying to get Taylor Swift to Brook Park. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me why this guy is still coaching our team. He is the best winning. Hang on. The best. I'm trying to figure out how to word this.
Starting with best is probably not the right way.
Losing record coach that we've had.
I thought you were going to go best losing winning coach, but I'm glad you took a second there.
Yeah, I had to go back on it and think about how to say that. He's the best losing coach that we've ever had.
That's like Varsity Blues. You're the dumbest smart kid I know.
All right, Adam. Exactly. Did we get through all three parts of this?
Well, you didn't answer any of the questions, but I think we had a good conversation.
Ah, we like that. Well,
as long as you enjoyed the conversation,
that's
we did
all
too.
That really matters here. Yeah. We're just a couple guys talking.
It's making a nice vibe.
We're having fun.
Hey, we're having
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Having fun.
Detroit had one potential moment where I thought they were going to win, and then they farted it away. But yeah. Seattle had five times as many.
Yeah, poor Kerry Carpenter, man, or as I call him, Kerry Bonds. He started out the game 4-for-4, and then you get into extras, and he's just the only one to get on base consistently. Just feel like you put the world on your shoulders in that game.
I hate that guy.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do. His splits are...
For a lot of reasons. I just don't like
him. His splits are one of the more aggressively... I'll just call it awkward. In all of baseball, between what he does against lefties and righties, it's wild to me. But yeah, no part of me felt bad for Detroit at the end of that thing. And I did feel like the ghost runner in regular season we've gotten right, because there was a lot of times where I just wanted that game to end.
Now, the good news is I've been in and out on playoff baseball since the Guardians got eliminated. That game pulled me all the way back in. I watched Cubs, Brewers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have it on the TV right now, but I'm primed for the ALCS and the NLCS.
Yeah, it's cool, and I like getting different teams in too. Like, it's just fun having the Mariners in there. It's fun having different teams than what we consistently see. Like, the Yankees always in there. It's fun to mix it up.
I don't think there's a chance in hell the Brewers are going to upset the Dodgers. However, if they can, I honestly don't even give a rip who comes out of the AL. I'll take whatever World Series you can give me that involves the Brewers and whoever, because whoever it is, it's either going to be the first time they've won since 93 or the first time they've won ever.
I might have turned on Pat Murphy, by the way.
Was it the did he have something? Did he have a waffle in his pocket now?
Not like the big gigantic L flag or anything like that. You won, you earned the right for it. No, he's doing this weird thing where anytime any new reporters are in the room, he's making them, like you're a child, he's making them stand up and then introduce themselves, and they go around the room and they introduce themselves, and they waste so much time, and they're just, there's a difference between being like a fun hip manager and whatever that is. That just gives me,
he's so fun and hip that he's actually square?
Yeah, it gives
me. Hip to be square. Huey Lewis in the news. That's a real thing.
It gives me like summer camp in third grade vibes, or really any, that's my least favorite thing in life is we went to Charlotte's, she does daycare 2 days a week in the morning, right? And we go there to where she's going to do the daycare, and like when we drop her off and we have a whole like big meeting and everything, and everyone had to like go around the room and be like, hi, I'm Jonathan, and I live in Solon, and all these other things. Can't stand that. Do not like it at all.
Why?
And I don't know. There's something that's just incredibly uncomfortable to me about it. I wish I could tell you
saying your name and like where you live.
Well, they always ask for like a fun fact about you and everything. And I never want to say I'm on the radio. That's not the fun fact I ever go to.
Okay.
And so I'm out of fun facts. I don't know what
Lindenwood Bowling, baby.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but nobody wants that either, because then that just asks more questions than answers questions, and then it's just.
So you need something definitive and fun. I think the problem here is
it's just. I think you've gone from being fun, John.
Our fun Jonathan to now being so fun, you're no longer fun.
Is that what it is? I'm not sure.
You pulled the Pat Murphy off.
Well, but Pat Murphy then making all these reporters, these respected reporters, stand up like they're that, like they're dropping their kid off at a daycare and announcing themselves and giving a fun fact about themselves is just very. It's not cool to me. It's just, I got the, you know, girls can get the ick and just be done with a guy.
Yeah.
I got the ick with Pat Murphy. I'm out of his shtick.
Oh.
Whatever that is, I'm out.
I'm built for moments like that. I will not only come up with the most fun fact about myself.
You'll make the room laugh too.
Yeah, I'll make them laugh, and then people think about it and they'll be like, oh, that meant two things. And I'll be like, you're darn right it did. Darn tootin'.
You'd make a sexual innuendo, and then Pat Murphy would be like, this is why I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. And he'd shut it down.
I'd get it canceled. And you're welcome, Jonathan.
And I would say thank you. Yeah, I would say thank you as I stand next to you and be like, this is my friend Nick. He likes to talk more than I do sometimes.
That'd actually be great. Like when we had our meeting with the sales staff, which we do at least once a year, we, you know, let them kind of know where the show is, and it's really fun. But there was a moment where Jonathan just kind of looked at me like, and now you.
Yeah, this is your turn. this is where you thrive.
And that was the rest of the meeting. And I was like, okay, I can do that.
And it's essentially what I do with my wife in those moments too, by the way, because she's very outgoing, and I'm like, and so she likes to talk more than I do in these settings, so go ahead. You entertain.
It's funny.
You do that.
In social settings where I don't know people, that is Vanessa's role. It's like, you're bubbly, you're cute, You do the talking, and I'll chime in with a, and that's when the clowns came in. I'll get one-liners. But if it's people like if it's our friends, oh, hell. Well, I can chop it up with anybody. But when it's like we're going to a wedding this weekend where I'm not going to know anyone but Vanessa. I'm going to be the stereotypical 80s dad, mm-hmm. where it's like she does a lot of the work, and then I chime in with, and don't you forget it.
And don't you forget it. I love that role. That's a good role. I've done a good job with that role. I do feel like you like a little bit more than that role.
Not in that setting.
Not in that one?
No. Because here's the thing. I'm definitely getting the point. I don't know how to say this, because I like everybody, but when it comes to friendship building,
mm-hmm.
it either is there or it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to work for it. Because like the best friends that I have on the planet, it's just there. It's just, you don't have to work at it. It's just, there's something deep there. There's some sort of connection that I have. I'm friendly with everyone. I'm friends with everyone. But I'm best friends with like 7 people on the planet. And that's really the level of friendship I'd like everyone to have. And because I can't, it's like, oh, we're just going to be friendly. Okay, Vanessa, what do you got to say there?
Yeah. Did you buy a suit yet?
No, but we reached a very nice, so I have a suit jacket that I've worn, and we went mm-hmm. to the store over the weekend, bought some new pants that will go with the suit jacket.
Good.
Bought 2 shirts, because I didn't realize we have 3 weddings coming up in the next 3 months. So we got it done. It's the guy there really approved. He kind of gave off Hacksaw vibes, which was really funny.
I like that for you.
So we had that done. It was and I really was a grown up about it. I only let my kids see my eye rolls every time my wife would be like, "Let's try this one on," and the guy would be like, "Yeah, come on, you look great in that." And I was like, I don't like this. It was so funny.
The guy was egging it on?
Well, because me and Izzy, me and the twins, because the twins came with us because Livy was out at a friend's house. So the twins came with us, and the twins were the only people on the planet that wanted to be done with this more than I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they knew at the other end of this, they were going to the bookstore and they were going to Swenson's. So they knew, they're like, we just got to get through this and then we can go have fun and get, you know, too much money in books and all that. Which is exactly what happened. But yeah, there were points where if I didn't roll my eyes in their direction at it, they rolled their eyes in my direction, and we both did. Whoever didn't roll their eyes would look at the other one and go, yeah, I know. This is like the 7th pair of pants. I like the first one. I'm done.
Where if I were them in that role, I'd just trying to leave the store, anything you put on, it would have been like, whoa, now that's it. Is that Dad or is that Tom Cruise that just walked in?
No.
That's a role I would have played. No. Just get out of there.
This is a talent that Vanessa has. Vanessa would see right through that.
Mm.
Yeah. She knows. Because even with one time, I was like, oh, I think it's awesome. She's like, shut up and go put on the next one. You absolute moron.
And
I was like,
good. You need the checks and balances in life.
Like, you got a point there. Sid, welcome to the show, Sid.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Oh, Jonathan, I miss you, buddy.
I miss you too, Sid. How you been, buddy?
Hanging in there. What do you call a Danish with a hole?
What's that?
I call it a donut. Na 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 na. Ba 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 ba. Na 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 na. You know, we gotta get rid of this Marty Schottenheimer. You know, I'm sick of this guy calling his own plays, the Schumer and everything. Just Stefanski, he's gotta go. It's the bottom line. It's got to end immediately. I was talking to the call screener. He's like, I don't want to do it mid-season. Baloney. We got to get rid of this guy and start anew. I don't know. Bring in Gruden or something. What do you guys think?
Nick likes Gruden a lot.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I like Gruden more than I like... Yeah, you know what? I take it back. I do like Gruden. I don't hate that idea.
I'm telling you what, we got to get rid of him. We got to start anew. But you know, I got a stepladder.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But I never knew my real ladder. Oh,
all right. 5.4 5.4 out of 10. Thank
good
you,
job, Sid. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
The only thing I would say is he went baloney. Why didn't we get like an Italian cut there? Like, this guy's made of gabagool, like something like that, right? Well, you wouldn't say gabagool because everybody likes gabagool, but you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
This man's got, he's like Prosecco. I don't know. Is it Prosecco a cut of meat? I don't know.
Now you're just doing Sebastian Maniscalco.
Have some Sanka. Have some Sanka. If everybody just have some Sanka, maybe it's stop
was,
making.
Jax was very quick on that one.
Yeah, he was ready.
He was very ready.
That was, we call that profiling, Jax. All right. Let's go with Joe in Elyria. Oh, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Nick, Jonathan, great. Thanks for having me on the show. Really love your guys' realist point of view with everything going on, especially with the Browns. Really, I kind of had a comparison with what's going on with Kevin Stefanski, and it's outside of the NFL. If you look at, like, the Showtime Lakers of the 80s and a guy like Paul Westhead, you know, he was a pretty smart guy, had success in his field. No one would question that he was a smart coach, but he had this system that he just would not deviate from, and he had talent that didn't fit the system. I kind of equate Kevin Stefanski to a similar NFL version, you know, a smart guy. You can't fault him for that. He's an Ivy League graduate. But he has this system that he just won't let go of, and the system has really produced two Coach of the Year awards, you know, which are accolades you can hang your hat on, but they're past accolades. Now you have, you know, an offense that's struggling, and he just won't give it up. I really do agree with a lot of these callers here and you guys on the show. I think it's time for him to go. You know, but I also agree with the Bert and Ernie, you know, type of feel. And I do think that you actually have three stooges, you know, and not just a Bert and Ernie. I think you have Paul D. Podesta, number one. You have Kevin Stefanski, number two, and Andrew Berry is number three. I think the only one that gets a pass is somebody like Berry, who's proven with current accolades that he can produce a good draft class. But I do think there comes a time where you're going to have to cut ties with all three. You know, right now, if he'd take the job, I would definitely, you know, kind of use an interim coaching position and get Schwartz up, you know, as a fill-in and a stopgap. And I don't think he wants to be a head coach permanently. That's up to him. But I think he's the only person qualified and capable of taking over until we do a new head coaching search. And that's really my take, and I kind of want to hear what you guys have to say.
Joe, we appreciate you. One, Paul Westhead, played by the incredible Tracy Letts in the Showtime show that should still be going on.
I just kept thinking of the guy that played Jack McKinney falling off of his bicycle.
Actually, no. Yeah, no, that's actually Jack McKinney. So it's Jason Segel who plays Paul Westhead. Good save there. All right, there's a lot there. One, it'd be the worst version of Three Stooges ever because there's no Curly. And Curly made the Three Stooges. Two, I disagree with Barry. Four good draft picks doesn't undo the world of crap that he had pulled the previous 5 years. That being said, I think the writing's on the wall for Kevin Stefanski. But unless you intend on making Jim Schwartz the actual head coach, I don't think there's any point in pulling that plug early.
And I think Jim Schwartz knows that, by the way. And so it would be... It could get dicey really quick, but of course, this whole thing can get dicey really quick.
Oh!
Oh!
Have some Sanka!
Have some Sanka!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up! You get early payout on parlays, too!
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.